looking to find true balance in this time of chaos and change, wishing you could keep the faith, longing to forge ahead beyond the shadows into a brave new light? Buckle up and lean in for an hour of questions, answers, and practical magic. Welcome to Living on a Prayer. Now here's your host, Michelle Morgan.
Live in the studio. This is Living on a Prayer. I'm Michelle Morgan, and Barb Perry, my producer, chose that song. How cool is that? That gives you a pretty clear idea what we're on about today, doesn't it, folks? Your cheating heart. Happy first day of March. Amazing. How did we get this? I must have been out of the room when January and February came and went, because I have no idea how we got here, but here we are. I would love to start out by thanking my listeners for emailing and Facebooking me. I really appreciate the support. It's been just tons of fun to hear from you. And I would love to invite those of you who have not yet got onto Facebook to jump on my website, click on the links box on any page, and get on that Facebook site. We've got discussions up that are really cool. Love to have you adding to those. There's info on upcoming shows, and there's just a great place to kind of hook up with people who have like minds. So, again, thanks to everybody who's been listening. A couple shout-outs. Graciela Sierra, I hope I've pronounced your beautiful name correctly, my dear. Thank you so much for listening and for giving me some notes. Appreciate that a ton. And a shout out to Becky Moore. Beck, you rock, sister. And you know what I mean. So, next week's show, we're going to talk about next week's show for a second here. It's the psychic free-for-all.
Oh, yes.
So, those of you who've been listening over the weeks are, you know, we've had a few people calling in who just want to ask those psychic questions. Not necessarily topic-oriented. And so we're going to set it up for anybody that's got any question whatsoever. We're going to do the whole psychic thing next week. So be ready for that, kids. Come up with your questions and be prepared to jump on that phone next week. You can be on hold this week if you want. Barb, you'll handle that, won't you?
I'll handle that for you.
Yeah, you'll keep
it. But yes, next week. I'm very excited about the musical selections for next week.
I can't wait to see what you come up with, sister. I am absolutely thrilled. So... today's show, let's talk about that. Today's show is a continuation of last week's discussion regarding the shadow, reversed polarity, and its effect on relationship. And we used celebrity couples as examples last week. We talked about Jake Gyllenhaal and Reese Witherspoon and, of course, Brangelina. And just the different dynamics that make relationship fall completely apart, sometimes very quickly. And there's real specific electrical impulses, if you will. There's a very specific recipe for relationship disaster. We did not have enough time last week, however, to get to today's subject, which, of course, it's so serendipitous. Thank you, God, for lining that up. Because, in fact, had we had enough time to get to this subject in the last few moments of the show, I would have gone out of my mind trying to say everything I have to say about this in that short period of time. So I get an entire show. How fun is that? The subject is partners who cheat. And this is a subject I deal with frequently in my counseling practice. I cannot tell you how many people come to me who have been cheated on, who are in the process of having an affair, and psychologically what it does is pretty extraordinary. It's pretty darn complex. So we are going to talk about that today and all the different angles and aspects of that. And of course, for reference, I am going to use the poster child for adultery, Tiger Woods. God love him. Think it's fascinating that it's the year of the tiger. This just goes to show you, kids, what I always say, there's a blessing and a curse in everything, okay? So, interesting, we're going to be talking a lot about Tiger today and about what's potentially going on in that man's psyche. And, you know, if those things weren't going on in his psyche, the year of the tiger might be a whole different ballgame for him. But as it stands, it is the year of the tiger in a very epic and archetypal way. It's kind of sad for him. We are going to open the phone lines in a little bit. And I would love to hear from you. If you've got an experience of this topic that you care to share or talk about, you got a question about it, call the studio. Number's 877-230-3062. And if you have a question or comment about this show's subject, I guarantee you a whole lot of other listeners are going to benefit from how we discuss it. So definitely give us a call. All righty. Little recap, passion, intimacy, and attraction. That's the spark that requires right polarity. That's the dynamic alliance of opposites, like those oppositely charged poles of a battery. And in this case, the poles are masculine and feminine. I will say one more time, it's not gender specific. However, I am speaking always to the cultural majority, more for simplicity's sake than anything else. So what makes that spark of passion, intimacy, and attraction die? There's a number of things. First of all, we have a cultural paradigm of equality, equality equaling sameness. So automatically we're programmed in relationships of all kinds, but in particular our intimate partnerships, to begin the slow slide into reversed polarity, which absolutely kills the spark. A 50-50 battery is dead. There's no energy. If those oppositely charged poles come to an equal charge, the battery's dead. Same thing with relationship. Passion, intimacy, and attraction die at 50-50. At least they begin to die pretty dramatically. And then when it reverses, it's just completely damaged. Can be healed, though. That's the good news. Life helps the spark die. Our world, and particularly our culture, man, we deify the shadow nature. Just, you know, I hope I don't offend anybody with this, but reality television is the mecca of the shadow. We pay people to be completely obnoxious. We pay people to have zero integrity. We pay people to do horrible things to each other. And we watch them on a weekly basis. I find that absolutely stunning. Stunning. I, for one, have never, ever watched any of those shows because I literally physically get ill. I'm not kidding you. And part of that is what I do for a living. You know, I'm doing damage control for people on a daily basis who get into those types of situations and have those types of things happen to them. And the fact that we pay them. And the other thing that I'm going to go on a little tangent here, if I may. The other thing I think about reality television is how much money are they putting into those shows? What's the production costs? And I'm thinking cancer could be cured. You know, with that money, where could that go? You know, we could send all that money to Chile right now and help those people out. And I don't think the world would be any less affected if we didn't have those shows on. The shadow's the opposite of your core. It's the expression of your intellectual or reasoning fear self. We talked about that last week. The difference between instinctual fears, which are hardwired to the fight or flight survival instinct. And those are real fears. Those are fears that keep you in the moment, help you make choices to be safe, whether it's a physical safety or an emotional safety. The intellectual or reasoning fear is where you're thinking things, you're making things up, you're imagining things, you're remembering things. And those fears keep you in the past or the future, anticipating or remembering. And the shadow nature comes in two forms. It's either weak and subservient or it's controlling and abusive. Those are the two forms that the shadow will appear. The other thing that helps make the spark of polarity die are belief systems. And we're going to be doing an entire show on belief systems coming up here in a little while because it's crucial stuff. And belief systems are how you see yourself and the world around you. And those are hardwired into your human psyche. They're actual neural pathways in the brain that get created between birth and 2 years of age. And those belief systems will determine your ability to be authentically in your core nature or unconsciously in your shadow. as a general rule. So those are the things that will start to create that polarity spark dying. And then once the spark dies, it's pretty specific what starts to happen. The degeneration of a relationship follows a pretty specific pattern. First thing that happens is you begin to shut down to the person that you're out of sync with. And again, this is something that can, you're going to go through sometimes on a daily basis in oftentimes very subtle ways. And the key to right relationship is consciousness, without question. Consciousness of your own patterns, and then the pattern that gets set up in the relationship, which is based on the two people. I've always said that relationship never has a problem. Relationship's perfect. It's the two goofballs in the relationship that bring all their garbage into the temple, so to speak. So consciousness of your personal patterns really is a key component to right relationship. So the first thing that happens when that polarity starts to shift is we shut down. And if that goes on long enough, that spark, we're going to start to seek the spark elsewhere. That's an automatic instinctual reaction in the human psyche. And remember, we talked last week that that spark of polarity, if you want to pull it down to its most primal nature, it is literally the energy of procreation. It's that desire to procreate and partner. Now, that's the human aspect of it, the primal human animal nature. The spiritual nature of that spark is, in fact, our longing to unite with God, to experience ourselves bigger than we could ever be alone. So it's pretty loaded. It's absolutely loaded. And so when we start to separate from our partner emotionally and physically, et cetera, inevitably it ends up into some sort of an affair. whether it's typically emotional affairs for women first, men will gravitate towards physical affairs typically. Again, I'm talking masculine, feminine, talking how they're wired. There are always exceptions to these rules, but for the most part, that's how it's going to play out. And then, you know, men become absent energetically and physically, women become angry and they shut down even more. And then the shadow just reacts to shadow and it just gets uglier. So I want to talk about Tiger Woods and his wife, Elin. I honestly don't know a lot about the polarity aspect of that relationship. Most of what's been written, and you know, I'm going off the tabloids. I totally own it. I'm going out of People magazine. I'm going out of Us Weekly. Just the stories that are in the news, etc. And obviously, I am not sitting down in their living room having a conversation with them. So I'm basing what I'm seeing on the fact that of what I'm hearing in these reports. So. That being said, I can definitely address this situation from a belief system or an addiction issue, but I do want to talk slightly about potential polarity stuff. Some things that I've read about Tiger, these are some quotes from some of the mags. He goes into quote-unquote robot mode and hits golf balls over and over as a way to escape. That's how he escapes any situations going on in his life that he's not comfortable with. Obviously, the man is super controlled in his career. There's a level of perfectionism that's almost inhuman in his skill and performance, which everything's got a blessing and a curse. So obviously, the man is a phenomenal athlete because of that ability to shut everything and everyone out. And then we're seeing, I think, the outcome of that in his behaviors personally. Elin's been described as, quote unquote, very level-headed. Not the type to blow her top. We have talked a number of times in past shows about the fact that the feminine is hardwired to be emotionally expressive. In our culture, we've killed that in women. We've stuffed that down. That's why women, the majority of people who are on anti-anxiety and antidepressive meds are women. Vast majority. And that's because when you shove down your emotions and you are even keeled and level-headed, eventually you're going to blow. And well, I'm telling you, if the speculation about that night with the golf club and the Escalade has any truth to it, her shadow came out in true warrior mode. And no surprise, you stuff it down that long, kaboom. So the first thing that I always ask people in these types of situations when they're trying to figure something out is, you know, what's true for these people? What's true for Tiger? What's true for Elin? What's going on in their psyches? Well, let's talk about it. There's a real popular judgment out there right now that says Tiger feels he is above the rules because of his status and his wealth. And Tiger even himself stated something to that effect in his public apology of a couple of weeks ago. Personally, it's deeper than that, if you ask my opinion, looking at it from the perspective of belief systems. And that's not to say that Tiger doesn't actually have the pathology of a sociopath. Sociopathic personalities truly do live in their own world. They truly do believe that they don't operate with the same rules as the rest of people in humanity. So that's possible. I don't quite buy into that. I think the deeper thing here is a belief system issue. A friend of Tiger's said in one of the articles, this is about Tiger working through commitment issues and self-destructive tendencies. So let's talk about, you know, Tiger started learning to play golf at age 2. That's pretty young for something that disciplined. And hear me correctly, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's a bad thing and it destroyed him. I'm saying there's a blessing and a curse in everything. Balance would be the key here. And depending on the belief systems and family legacies he's carrying, which we're going to be doing belief systems in a show, we're going to be talking family legacies in a show. They're basically the way we see ourselves in the world. Depending on those and the way he's carrying them, he probably has a part of him that no matter how well he plays, never feels good enough, never believes he's good enough. And the gift in that belief is, look at the drive and determination this man has to prove himself constantly in his career. It's amazing. The curse is obvious. The part of him, if he's got one part in his psyche that believes no matter what he does, he's not good enough. And I will guarantee you there are people listening to this show right now that can completely relate to that voice. Absolutely. No matter how successful you are, no matter how great you appear in the outside world or how good you feel about yourself in certain areas, there's going to be a part of you that's going, you know what? No matter what, it's not good enough. You got trained in that as a child. That's how belief systems get created. That part of him had to come out to prove the validity of that belief system by creating this particular nightmare. And in the structure of belief systems, it's a pendulum. The pendulum has to swing to the opposite side of the spectrum to create balance in the psyche. And it has to swing in equal measure. So if you look at how successful Tiger's been, and if he's got a belief system that ultimately says, no matter what I do, I am not good enough, he would have to create an epic failure in order to prove and support the belief system that he's not good enough. An epic failure. And by golly, I think he succeeded. I think he did a hell of a job in creating an epic failure. Bless his heart. So one of the big questions here is, why do men cheat? Well, whatever their belief systems are and how they're manifesting from them, a man will feel separate from his masculine core and seek to reclaim it through sexual experiences with a fantasy feminine. That's why the stereotype of men, cheating with bimbos is always the big story. Here's the truth of right polarity. Nothing inspires true masculine faster or more powerfully than true feminine. The energy of the feminine is love, light, emotion, and support. The bimbo stereotype is typically a woman who's flirtatious, very sexual, and makes the man feel 10 feet tall. So obviously that's the shadow expression of that feminine nature. Now, a woman will cheat because she's seeking to reclaim the emotional component of her feminine self. She's looking for a quote-unquote man, especially if she's with a weak partner, or she's looking for a nice or loving partner if she's with someone controlling or emotionally unavailable. Here's the problem. The cheating thing is not true core polarity. It's the shadow. If you're cheating to escape your current relationship woes, you're guaranteed to create those same troubles with the lover that you draw in, even if that new person seems completely different from your current partner. Remember that the shadow's found in those two extremes of the pendulum swing between weakness and domination. Here's a for instance. Men with a controlling partner will seek a more subservient woman. Those with a partner who's shut down will seek a feminine power, or a woman who seems powerfully feminine, who's typically overtly sexual or really successful in the business world. He'll seek that out because it's the opposite of what he's got at home. Women, similar thing. Women with a controlling partner will seek that nice guy, that sweet guy who's ultimately weak or a pushover. Then she'll get real tired of him. Or those with a weak man will be drawn to the bad boy type. You know, the body piercings, the Harley, the tats, you bet. Because it looks masculine in comparison to who they're with. And that's just instinctual stuff, kids. That's operating from your shadow. And when you do, when you're operating from your shadow, you are only going to attract and be attracted to others in their shadow in all its expressions. That is cosmic law. So I want to talk briefly about Elin and her participation in this experience. It does take two to tango. Now, really hear me carefully on this. I am not suggesting that Elin caused Tiger Woods to sleep with 14 plus women. Okay? Not remotely saying that. But here's what I am saying. Elin has her own belief systems at work in this situation. If a woman has trust issues, and let me tell you what, about 99% of women out there have trust issues. There's a reason for that. And we've talked about it in the past. We'll talk about it more in the future. But a woman with trust issues will 100% set herself up to be in relationship with a man who will betray her. There's no exception to that rule. And he'll betray her on some level. A lot of women argue with me on this one because trust issues can be so subtle. Betrayal can be really subtle. It can be freakishly obvious like this situation, or it can be something as subtle as a man who just never follows through on anything he says he's going to do, or is just never truly there for her emotionally. That's a betrayal. She's opening her heart to the guy and he's not there. And in this world, the feminine has hard and fast experience to support how difficult it is to trust. That's just a fact. So it's complicated. It really is for the feminine. And as I've said so many times before, this is where your intimate relationship with God is absolutely crucial, because that's the only place you're going to be able to start to rebuild that trust with a masculine energy. So we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the aspect of sex addiction, how that fits in here. And then I'm going to talk about the polarity responses to Tiger's apology, which I found absolutely fascinating. Phone number to call if you've got something to say about this topic. Number's 877-230-3062. And if you just have a question, you just want a psychic reading, next week, promise you, psychic free-for-all, okay? That's going to be a ton of fun. So come back. We'll be right back after this break. This is Michelle Morgan. This is Living on a Prayer.
Sometimes it's hard to be a woman. Given all your love to just one man, you'll have bad times and you'll have good times doing things that you don't understand.
Satisfied with your current spiritual connection? Think you're failing on your spiritual path? Tired of the secret remaining just that? Join visionary NLP practitioner, author, and spiritual innovator Michelle Morgan for an intense four-part workshop series designed to open your mind and heart to the ultimate love affair between you and God. Go to www.michellemorgan.org for more information. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
If you've got a question for Michelle, give us a call here at 877-230-3062. That's 877-230-3062.
Action is made.
What might life be like if there were room for heroes and goddesses again? Not merely in fairy tales, but alive in every one of us. Are you ready to truly own and live your destiny? Introducing CSI, developed and facilitated by visionary NLP practitioner Michelle Morgan. CSI is a unique fusion of progressive techniques which create powerful permanent change in the psyche at the exact point where your unconscious patterns originate. Go to www.michellemorgan.org to find out more about CSI. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true, you can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest, you can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show, for the hosts and for others.
We're back, Living on a Prayer, Michelle Morgan, Michael Bolton, great voice, the man with the mullet. He was awesome, wasn't he? Except I heard one time a reviewer talking about Michael Bolton that he always sounded like he was in tremendous pain when he sang. He was very passionate when he sang his songs, but
he was very passionate. Yeah. It was very nice when he finally did cut that hair.
Yes, it was.
He looked very handsome.
Way better. Yeah. And believe me, I am not opposed to the mullet thing because I'm an 80s girl after all. And there were some awesome mullets back then. There were, you know, it was not necessarily a completely bad look. So, all right. Tangent. We're back. Let's talk about sex addiction. That's a topic for you. So here's what's interesting about that. That's been brought up a number of times in conjunction with Tiger and his list of 14 plus mistresses. So Tiger's in rehab for sex addiction. And there's a lot of people who are dismissing that diagnosis, quote unquote, as just an excuse. So let's talk about that for a second. What is addiction? Addiction's a manifestation of belief systems. An addiction is an unconscious and uncontrollable desire for the drug of choice, whether that be an actual chemical substance, drugs or alcohol, food, sex, gambling, etc. It's the shadow expression of the longing in all of us to connect to God. And you add into that mix belief systems, you add into that personal history. Somebody that grows up in an alcoholic family, for instance, they're much more predisposed to alcohol addiction, not because it's genetic in a physical sense, but it's genetic in the belief system and the emotional patterns. You grow up with that, you get that modeled to you, that's your reality, you're gonna try and live that out. We've talked before about how that the human psyche is wired to survival. And here's what survival means. Two things. Survival is you got to belong to the pack. You got to be loved and accepted by the pack or you'll die. So the family loyalty thing is huge. And then the other piece of survival is we have to know our circumstances. We have to know our reality in order to feel safe. So we're going to recreate childhood dynamics typically in our lives in various ways because that's how we know who we are. So addiction is a very complex combination of all of those things. And then on top of that, it does center itself in a physiological way in the body so that you're adding to it the physical component of the craving for whatever that drug of choice is. And there's an actual chemical reaction to sex and gambling as well as food or chemical substance. So the high that somebody experiences in any addiction and that temporary sense of power that ensues from that high is absolutely the shadow fulfillment of that longing that's hardwired in us to connect to the divine, to be greater than we are alone. The less powerful somebody feels in their life, the more they're going to seek that high. And the more they seek the high, the farther away from their power they become. No coincidence there. So it's a really nasty cycle. So is Tiger addicted to sex? Quite possibly. That's a piece of it. And I think, you know, it's great that he's dealing with it. According to some of the reports, he's not happy about it, but addicts rarely are when they have to take a look at their stuff. But you could take any, behavioral pattern and see it in the light of addictive behavior based on how that psyche works, in particular in conjunction with belief systems. So I want to talk a little bit about the polarity responses to Tiger's public apology. I YouTubed that and watched just a little snippet of it. It was interesting. I'm fascinated by the gender lines that are drawn between people who buy into the apology and people who don't. Women don't buy it, not for one second, and the men do. Now, here's why. And I hope y'all have listened long enough to know I'm not dissing men or women on any of this stuff. It's just fascinating, polaritudinally correct reactions. The masculine's wired to process things intellectually and physically. First, so the action of apologizing. It's a physical action. And what was fascinating about the little snippet that I saw was that Tiger was very, he was very controlled and at the same time quite emotional. And there were some very interesting hand gestures that he did. Put his hand on his heart, did some things that, were sort of, and some people have actually said it was highly choreographed. I kind of felt that way a little bit as well. And again, I only saw a tiny bit of it. But the bottom line is the action of that apology satisfies the intellectual and physical aspects for the masculine. The masculine always seeks the answer. They want to fix the situation. They want to find that solution, take the action, and move on. Be done with it. And there's some really good things about that. Wow, that's one of the things I love about core masculine men, is that, man, they just get in and get it done. They get it done, and they move on, and they don't hang on to stuff, and they don't recount it, and they don't drag it back up again 6 weeks later and chew on it. They take action, and they finish it. So it makes sense in some respects that the men, the masculine population out there, would see Tigers stepping up to the plate, owning his crap, speaking his, you know, speaking his apology as that, taking that action, that solution, and he's moving on. Here's how the feminine's wired. Feminine's wired to process things emotionally and spiritually first. An apology does not address those areas. Touches on the emotional, but the feminine seeks the intuitive experience of safety and completion. And that requires time, first of all. Tiger's going to have to prove himself, literally, through impeccably consistent behavior, and more important, impeccably consistent masculine energy. He's going to have to prove that he's changed through those things and that he can be trusted. Track record is crucial to the feminine. Absolutely crucial. And the bottom line is, women, they're not going to automatically feel intuitively that Tiger is really taking responsibility, because one public apology, considering who the man is, and considering that, guarantee you, the guy's got speech writers and publicists who are helping him, and I'm not dissing the fact that he did it, I'm just saying he's got all those pieces to the puzzle. He's not your average Joe getting up in front of national television and apologizing for something. It's going to be tough for the feminine to swallow. So this was interesting. People magazine, some people wrote in about that apology, and this was just fascinating to me. One gal wrote, sex addiction is one of the worst addictions. It encompasses your very identity. People use sex to sedate themselves, to boost their self-esteem, to feel powerful, and to share love. I can only pray that Tiger is honest in his recovery and that Elin gets the support she needs too. And then she goes on to talk about some other things about that. Here was the next email. Tiger Woods is no different from so many men who think that just because they have fame, money, or good looks, they can cheat on their wives. Using the excuse that they have a sex addiction is just so much baloney. I hope that Elin Woods takes Tiger for whatever she can. He isn't going to change, and Elin will never be able to trust him again. Quote, unquote. Got a little bit of a masculine spin on that there response. And, you know, it's a little bit of shadow. We got some shadow going there. But it's interesting to see that I think the first person who wrote probably understands sex addiction from a personal experience and has a more of a compassionate feel to it. And the second one just doesn't buy it. So it's really interesting. Some of the George Stephanopoulos apparently expressed awe, calling Tiger's speech one of the most remarkable public apologies ever by a public figure. Another guy from CBS said, I've never seen him appear so vulnerable. I was very impressed with what he said. And some other guy, not sure who this gentleman is, twittered that Tiger's speech hit the right notes in a big way. And here's what the women had to say. Even before the speech aired, there's a woman-focused blog called Double X, and they declared women will never forgive Tiger. A Fox News commentator said, Tiger Woods telling the media to be good and responsible to his wife. He's telling others to be good to his wife. Maybe he should have been. And then another feminine website questioned his motives for the apology, saying, this was a ploy to save sponsors. I can read body language. He's not sorry. I bet he called Rachel Yucatel this morning. Yeah, ouch. So, bottom line, from a polarity standpoint, feminine's not going to buy that single apology. Now, you can, from a perfect polarity standpoint, the feminine would accept that apology and be willing to see Tiger in a higher light for owning that, and then be willing to stand back and allow him to do the work he needs to do to get the help he needs and to start to prove himself. And that's a little bit of a dicey dance for the feminine, because it does require an extraordinary amount of trust and a willingness to give somebody a chance, and at the same time staying very clear and very, very plugged into your own intuition, so you can discern what is the truth and what is not. And what is the main ingredient for that, class? Class? Anybody? Bueller? Connection to God. If Elin Woods does not have a good spiritual connection right now, she's not going to ultimately recover from this. She's going to bury it. She's going to stuff it down. She's going to dismiss it. She's going to be vindictive, however she chooses to handle it on the outside. And she's never going to be able to trust again. Which I will guarantee you, somewhere in that girl's psyche, we got some trust issues, some major trust issues. That being said, our society helps just glorify and personify that whole thing. The shadow is just way too loved in our culture. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, I'm going to get on my flaming soapbox about one of the most recent blatant experiences of cultural acceptance and glorification of this exact issue. The movie, It's Complicated. It's not that complicated, folks, and we're going to talk about it. So when we come back, that's where we're going. Stick around. This is Michelle Morgan, and this is Living on a Prayer.
What might life be like if there were room for heroes and goddesses again? Not merely in fairy tales, but alive in every one of us. Are you ready to truly own and live your destiny? Introducing CSI, developed and facilitated by visionary NLP practitioner Michelle Morgan. CSI is a unique fusion of progressive techniques which create powerful permanent change in the psyche at the exact point where your unconscious patterns originate. Go to www.michellemorgan.org to find out more about CSI. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you. So next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
With your current spiritual connection? Think you're failing on your spiritual path? Tired of the secret remaining just that? Join visionary NLP practitioner, author, and spiritual innovator Michelle Morgan for an intense four-part workshop series designed to open your mind and heart to the ultimate love affair between you and God. Go to www.michellemorgan.org for more information. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
Are talking cheating. Cheating, cheating, cheating. Cheater, cheater, pumpkin eater. Oh, Barb. And that strikes you funny. Why?
Because that's exactly what I was thinking.
Of course you were.
Pumpkin eater.
We share the same brain here on this show, me and my girl. So I want to talk about an experience that I had recently of society's glorification of this topic. Went to see the movie It's Complicated with Meryl Streep and Alec Baldwin. Went to see this over the holidays with my partner, Mark, who is a really remarkable man, very much in his core masculine. And let me start by saying that I love Meryl Streep. Love her. Always have. I will eventually forgive her for this movie. Alec Baldwin, you know, for some reason, never really cared for him. Saw him on Saturday Night Live a couple times, thought he was hysterically funny, but there was just something kind of about him that I just, you know, just didn't work for me. Now I know why. Nancy Meyer, the woman who wrote, directed, and produced this film, she's done some of my favorite movies of all time. And I really do hope I'm not offending anybody with this. This is just totally my opinion here. I'm doing the movie critic thing from a deeper standpoint. Private Benjamin, one of the best movies ever, Nancy Meyer film. Baby Boom, Diane Keaton, great film. The Parent Trap remake, I had no idea. That was her directorial debut. With Lindsay Lohan, oh my gosh, what a great movie. Something's Gotta Give, that's one of my favorite movies. Diane Keaton again and Jack Nicholson, phenomenal film. And The Holiday, very sweet. Kate Winslet, Cameron Diaz, great movie. So here comes It's Complicated. And I find this completely fascinating, that this movie was nominated for a Golden Globe for Best Picture and Best Screenplay, as well as a couple of other awards from other facets. So here's why I have a problem with it. Here's the premise of the film. Divorced couple, been divorced forever, at their son's college graduation. Now, Alec Baldwin's character cheated on Meryl Streep's character when they were married. And then he ends up marrying that younger woman that he cheats with. And that younger woman has a little boy. So they get married and da 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 da. So anyway, at son's college graduation, Meryl and Alec end up getting drunk together at a bar and end up in bed. So they start having this affair because apparently the sex was really amazing that night. So Meryl Streep's character, she's questioning this entire time. She's questioning why she's doing this, but she keeps doing it. She also starts to date Steve Martin, who I love. And he plays this really nice, note my words, this very nice, kind of soft, definitely sensitive guy, who is in direct contrast to Alec Baldwin's very boorish character. And it's really obvious, the contrast. So Meryl's, again, continuing to, when Alec comes over and, you know, convinces her that it's just so great because the sex is so great and they, you know, they have this great history together. She keeps questioning it. She keeps kind of freaking out, but then she gives in and goes for it. And so then she talks to her girlfriends, this group of girlfriends that she's had forever. And she confesses to them that she's having this affair with her ex-husband. And they think it's great because they think it's so fabulous that she's getting revenge against that other woman who is the wife of this Alec Baldwin's character, but they're all for the revenge piece. Okay. So then Meryl goes to her psychiatrist and asks his opinion because she's still questioning everything. He tells her he thinks it's great because he's never seen her so open. She's let her guard down finally, and she's really experiencing life. I'm telling you, that freaked me out big time, being a counselor myself, that someone would give that kind of advice. But okay, here we go. We're going to continue. So Alec Baldwin's character thinks the whole thing's great because the sex is awesome and it's a way for him to escape dealing with his troubled relationship with his now wife, the younger woman who is very controlling, and she's wanting to have a child with him, and she's kind of pushing him on stuff. He never once in this film takes responsibility for or apologizes to Meryl Streep's character for his original infidelity. He just keeps telling her that this is awesome and that they should just keep doing this wonderful thing because it just works so well. So there's a scene where they're dancing together at a party And that other wife, the younger woman, sees them and figures it out intuitively. It's a real obvious scene. She figures out what's going on, and her heartbreak is literally palpable. The gal that played the part was actually did that really well. And that was heartbreaking. Finally, their three children, Alec and Meryl's, they have three kids, grown kids. One's married, and the youngest one looks like she's probably, she just went away to college. That's right. And so, anyway, three children find out. In the only truly honest scene in this film, all three of these kids are crying, freaked out that their mom and dad are doing this. And Alec Baldwin says to them, "Why are you so upset? I thought you'd be happy to see us back together again." And the daughter says to him, "Because we're still getting over you splitting up in the first place." The confusion was nauseating. Then, I need to take a breath. Steve Martin, the Steve Martin's character, he finds out in a particularly disturbing scene. And here's why it was disturbing to me. The physical comedy in the scene was actually pretty funny. So it was hard not to laugh at the physical comedy of it. Alec Baldwin did a great job with that. But the heartbreak of it was horrifying because Steve Martin finds out via webcam that Meryl is messing around with her ex-husband. And Steve Martin's character at that point had fallen in love with her. So his emotional situation is completely trashed. So, finally, Meryl Streep's character decides to quit the affair because she realizes, well, you know what, this just isn't working for all the reasons that their relationship didn't work before. So she finally gets honest, and then the situation with her kids is resolved in one ridiculous group hug. Like, that is going to solve everybody's confusion, okay? So that really upset me. And then Steve Martin, God love him, says he won't date her anymore. And this was in the only other semi-honest scene where he finally mans up and takes charge and says, you know what, I'm not going to play this kind of a game. And it was a great scene. It was a great speech. It was awesome. But of course, by the end of the movie, he totally reneges on that and starts seeing her again. Here was the worst part. The end of the movie, Meryl and Alec are sitting on a bench in her yard talking about the whole thing, talking about this affair they've been having. And they both say to each other, "I don't regret a thing." They trashed a total of six people's emotional lives, and they don't regret a thing. I'm not kidding you, folks. I struggled so hard with my response to this. About 10 minutes into the movie, I was having a hard time, and I didn't say much. Finally, leaned over to Mark, and I asked him if he wanted to leave. And he looked at me, and he said, "I hate this movie." He said, "I cannot even believe this, but I want to stay. Because I'm dying to see how they resolve this thing. I am dying to see what they do at the end." We were both literally ill at that final scene. And probably the scariest part was the audience's reaction. We were in a theater with roughly, oh, maybe 35 other people who were, for the most part, between 40 and 65 years of age. People were laughing, clapping, loving the movie. There was actually a standing ovation at the end. People stood up and applauded. And I was completely stunned. I was completely stunned. It was just amazing to me that that whole subject could be depicted that way. And here's what I think would have been really powerful. If they'd have gone ahead and done the whole movie the way they did, absolutely everything the way they did it, and then at the end, in that final scene, when they're sitting on that park bench and they're talking about, you know, they had this affair and blah, 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 blah. What if they'd looked at each other and said, you know, wow, we really screwed up here big time. We just destroyed your marriage. You were married, and your young wife and her little boy, their life is messed up now. Where are they going to go? What are they going to do? She's, you know, that woman will never trust again. So that one's messed up. Our kids, oh my God, what have you got in your savings account? Because we need therapy for these children. They need to get in and get some help to deal with this extraordinary mind-numbing confusion of what they just witnessed. And Meryl could have taken responsibility for the fact that she really hurt this very, very cool guy that really liked her. That would have been amazing to me. That would have been an incredibly powerful film if they had ended it with a reality check and people taking responsibility for what they were doing. People get caught up in situations. I get it. I counsel people all the time that get caught up in situations with exes or get caught up in marital affairs because they're miserable in their current situation. But here's the truth. Everybody's life is affected. nobody walks away from something like that without being imprinted, and everybody's responsible for what they're creating in their life. I believe that absolutely, no question about it, which means take a look at your world, take a look at your reality. If you're having an affair or you're got somebody who's cheating on you, there's a belief system at play. You see the world a certain way, you see yourself in that world a certain way. You want to do some work to heal that, because that's going to continue. And it's time that people take responsibility for how they handle their lives, the legacies we hand to our children. Let me tell you what, I'm the parent. My daughter, my darling daughter Kaylee, is 23 years old on the 14th of this month, 2 weeks from now. Can't even believe that that is possible. 23 years old. And I've had to take huge responsibility for some legacies that I handed her. And it's been some of the best things that I've ever done. Some of the best healing I've ever done has been catalyzed by what I was teaching my daughter. And the problem with our culture, the fact that we have reality TV shows that celebrate this stuff, we have movies that celebrate this stuff, we have attitudes that celebrate this stuff, that either sweep it under the rug or say, wow, that's so cool, look at, you know, how powerful that person is, or, you know, look at how great that situation was, whatever. It's amazing to me the damage that we're doing collectively, and we seem to be so utterly unaware of it. And I absolutely believe that, you know, we have to hit bottom before we learn. And it troubles me that as a culture, we haven't hit bottom yet with some of the stuff that we do. And my prayer on a consistent basis is that individuals hit their bottom without tragedy and start to learn, so that collectively, maybe that's going to start to change. And I hope so. I really hope so. So that's, I just picked up the fire extinguisher and put out the flaming soapbox. I am now off of that. Again, hope I didn't offend anybody. I love Nancy Meyer's work. Just really not happy about the message in that one. So, boys and girls, that just about wraps it up for today. Remember, next week, psychic free-for-all. Can't wait for the music, Barb. Can't wait for the music. That's going to be tons of fun. So any question you have, I don't care what it's about, call us up here next Monday, and I will field those questions, and we'll have a great time with it. So jump on iTunes. Rate this show. You heard that dude talking about that earlier. I'd love to hear what you have to say. It'd be great. I would love that feedback. And I, again, really appreciate the people who've been Facebooking me. Would love to see you, more of you join the Facebook fan page and get on the discussions. Those are really fun. And you can get onto my website, michellemorgan.org. That's Michelle with one L, morgan.org. And you can click on the links box and get onto the Facebook, link, or you can get onto Twitter. And been a little remiss with Twittering lately, but I'm working on it. So you can follow me if that's your thing. And what else do we have to say? I guess that's kind of it, right, Barb? Anything else you need me to say?
No. Any workshops or anything coming up?
All the workshops are running right now. Okay. So I will be announcing some other ones coming up here, though, in the very near future. And you can always check my What's New page on my website, as well as the Facebook fan page. I'll be talking about that. So, oh, I do have one thing. Great interview with the Parkinson's doctor that I did an interview with a few months ago. And that you can access on my website as well, on the media page. And on the What's New page. And that was a ton of fun. Great information about collective belief systems and how that can affect you physically. So that's a cool thing. So there we go. Great, great show. Had a ton of fun today. Thanks, Barb, for the great music. that was awesome. And we will be back next week with the Psychic Free-for-All. Hope you have a great week, everybody. This is Michelle Morgan. You've been listening to Living on a Prayer. Take care.
You've been listening to Living on a Prayer with your host, Michelle Morgan. Join Michelle next Monday at high noon for another hour of attitude, angels, and answers. And in the meantime, visit Michelle on the web at www.michellemorgan.org. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.